All right, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to be all over Scripture, but you'll pretty much leave your Bibles at this point, or your smart device or whatever, as we look at a biblical self-image. Now the notes, if you've got a chance to look at them, they are very, very detailed. We are not going to have time, obviously, to get through all that. So I'm going to touch, but I wanted to give it to you so that you could take it with you, and that, you know, all the things that we talk about, I'm going to fly through some areas, but it's written for you so you can look at it later and be able to understand this topic better and better. The fact of the matter is, this particular topic you can see all the time in others, and you observe it as you observe the way people function, what they do, and so on, particularly in the lost world, as you see those things. Okay, let's open with prayer and get started. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray that you bless and give us wisdom and understanding from your word on this topic, and the importance of your word in how that we function, how our personality is, how we are acting, and what we are doing. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, what I'd like to do before we... Well, let's go ahead and read our text, and then we'll do some illustrating here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. All right, what I'd like to do is illustrate for you three types of people. Thank you. Hi. Not as in drugs or anything like that. All right? This is the type of person that thinks they're a gift to everybody. So they're ultra cool, and they put people down. If I were a person with a high self-image, I would be up here telling you how wonderful and great I am, and how you don't get these things, and you need me. This is especially need me to explain these things to you, and all these type of things. This is celebrities and so on often are this way, that make you kind of sick as far as that's concerned. They are extremely all about themselves. They think they're God's gift to mankind, and so on. It's interesting. The older I get, the more you see celebrities from years ago, and then understand about them and so on. And many of the ones I grew up with in the 70s, more of the 80s, they are gone today, and or not in good health and so on. All right, the other one would be low self-image would be somebody. If I were to do my presentation as low self-image, I would be often, you know, okay, I want to talk to you about, I'm really not good at speaking about these things. I know you all know these things better than I do. And so I'm just going to try and do my best. The notes, they're really not that good. Matter of fact, I'm really sorry because, well, I just don't think they'll help you. Please forgive me. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. And so on. They often don't feel they're qualified. As a matter of fact, people sometimes feign this in order to be able to try and get people to help them feel better about themselves. You ever hear somebody say, oh, well, I'm not really good at doing such and such, just to get from somebody and say, oh, no, you're good at doing that. No, you're great. I think you're awesome at doing that. Okay? That's what that person has, usually a high view of themselves, and they're trying to get somebody to reinforce it for them, okay? By playing what I sometimes call the martyr, okay? The martyr card is that, oh, I'm a victim, I'm, you know, no good, I'm not good enough, and everything, and so they present that, okay? And then the third one would be normal. All right, so this is all about self-image. Okay? Now, normal as in, well, Let me ask you this question. If I were this morning, and I got up here and said, okay, what I want you to, everybody to do this morning is I have a topic, and I put a topic up here, and I say, I want you to come up here and give an impromptu speech to everybody that's here. Okay? Now, for some people, that would be like, oh, yeah, I kind of like the opportunity to do that. For some people, sheer terror. I am not going to get up in front of everybody, and because there's this total self-consciousness that people are looking at me, and am I dressed right? Is my hair right? And everything like that, and so on and so forth. Okay, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. That's a big part of self-image today. Still others, okay, but I'd really rather not come up and give an impromptu speech. So these are some extreme examples what will show you how you view yourself. Now, somebody can have a high self-image but not act the way I act. And they do it this way. Go through, like this morning when you came in, there's a lot of people standing around, coffee and so on and so forth. And somebody can come through with a high self-image. They think higher than they ought to think. And they're thinking, I'm better than that person. Well, I'm not as dumb as they are. I know that, oh, that person did that, so on and so. They're putting themselves higher by putting down others without even saying anything. It's going on in the mind. Folks, that's sinful thinking, that's sinful behavior. Even though people don't see it, people do that. And we constantly measure ourselves by others by trying to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, okay? So, here's a question for you. How do you view yourself? It is an important question because it affects every area of your life. Your marriage, if you're married, or someday we'll be married. Relationships, and your relationship with your parents. Friendships. Why is it that some people have a hard time making friends? Many times it comes down to one of these two, and it gets to the point where people are like, you know what, because they're in this situation and not this way, I don't want to deal with that. It's the idea of somebody that's like, they just have too much drama, and I just can't handle that, and I don't want to be a part of that, okay? Now, the vast majority of marital problems, not all, but many of them, the vast majority of conflicts that you have with others at their root, and then many times Christians, people, are unwilling to deal with their self-image problems. The classic answer is, sort of like I was thinking as Dr. Reimers was speaking this morning, I don't have a self-image problem. Or what he blew out of the water there was, you get into a message, oh, well, this message doesn't speak to me. Well, anyway, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what a wonderful message already we had this morning. Now, look at your notes there, okay? To understand a self-image problem, a person must understand how God made him, man or woman, in his image, and how he made them to function. There would not be a self-image problem without sin and its effects on man's personality and ways of functioning. So because of sin, Christians sometimes don't look at themselves or accurately. Next paragraph. People that do not know Christ as a Savior cannot acquire a correct self-image. That's why there's so much emphasis on positive self-esteem in our world today. And there has been for years. Especially came out in the 80s and was really spoken about or sung about by Whitney Houston in 1985. The greatest love of all was what? The greatest love of all is to love yourself, to learn to love yourself. I believe our children are our future. Teach them well and let them show the way. Show them all the beauty they have possessed inside. Okay, that's some of the lyrics of the one. I actually had to look up. I didn't realize that she died in 2012. Cocaine, overdose, drugs. And she was only, 40s? In her 40s? I did not realize that. But that's a lot of the focus, and that came out, and I remember that as a teenager in the 80s, that was the focus and so on of the world, because it's like, how do we keep our kids from killing themselves? How do we keep our kids from having such terrible depression problems and behavioral problems and drug and alcohol problems? Oh, well, they just need to learn to love themselves. Folks, and that's directly contrary to what the Bible teaches. Okay? Now, let's pick up where we left. A regenerated, saved person, middle of that second paragraph, must understand the results of redemption on his personality, meaning when you're saved, your whole self is saved, and ways of functioning. He must understand that he's redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, given the Holy Spirit a new nature, so that he can arrive at an accurate self-image as he's being conformed to the image of Christ. So, arriving at an accurate self-image can give confidence for service, as the Christian will be restructuring and renewing his mind, as our text talks about there. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Now, I give one paragraph that there as a difference between self-esteem and self-image. Self-esteem, it deals with worth, competence, significance. Well, self-image, though, or self-concept, refers to the pictures we have of ourselves. So, like, if you were telling a story and you're the main character and you made a description of yourself as the main character, what kind of qualities would you use to describe yourself? And it'd probably be a list of your strengths, your weaknesses, perhaps your physical features and things like that. So self-image includes these thoughts, the end of the paragraph there, attitudes and feelings about ourselves. Whether right or wrong, your self-image will influence the way you think, act, and feel. And when you understand that, the cool thing is, when you get that, you understand that, you can correct yourself. And the Word of God will do that on a regular basis. Now, next paragraph. While God can and will use this to get someone's attention or work on their heart, Satan also can use a wrong self-image to hinder a Christian's effectiveness. Okay, so let's look at these things and really make some progress here. All right. Number one, there, the Bible and self-image. We need to understand the biblical teaching of self-image. That is, man and women were created in the image of God and a vital part of creation. So as created in God's image, think about this. We have intellectual abilities, the capacity to communicate. You can talk. People can understand. You have the freedom to make choices. You have a knowledge of right and wrong. And the responsibility to administer and rule over the rest of creation. That's what Genesis tells us we are to do. Okay? And you see that in Genesis 1 and Psalm 8 there. Number 2, we are in perfect standing with Christ. And you can look at the other passages later, but 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we have a relationship with Christ, the old flesh is dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So when we are living up to the way we are declared, the old flesh is dead, I am new in Christ. Folks, that gives self-image right there. Puts us at the place where we need to be. Live up to what we're declared. This is positive. This teaching of 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not to make us satisfied, but as Dr. Reimers talked about, to make us motivate us to make greater progress in Christian living. Okay? And A, B, and C there, Jesus said, children of God, you're salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. Believers can have an accurate self-image, not because of human works and human nature, but because of God's grace and divine redemption. All right, now, B there, we need to understand how to have a biblical self-image. Self-love is understood by Christ. You probably heard this, Matthew 22:36-40. Love thy neighbor as thyself, by Paul, Ephesians 5. Luke 10:29 sheds more light on the discussion. We remember the lawyer came wanting to justify himself. How shall I love? Jesus said, love the Lord, God, with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbors yourself. And the lawyer says, well, who's my neighbor? And the lawyer didn't have a self-love problem, but rather an unbiblical self-worth problem. Okay? So you can look at those passages. Now, number two there. Nowhere in Scripture is self-love taught. Loathing yourself The opposite is taught. Loathing yourself is a part of true repentance. That is, loathing yourself, that is your sin nature. Okay? Ezekiel 36. You shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities. Chapter 6, verse 9 of Ezekiel. They shall loathe themselves for the evils for which they have committed. Chapter 20, verse 43. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves your own sight for all the evils you have committed. And then Job 42 verse 6, you probably know this verse, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Okay. Both sin, verse number 3 there, and pride feed on self-love. 2 Timothy 3, 2, the lovers of self is in those lists of other abomination. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, they all stem from sin, from pride. Okay? All right, we see there, we need to understand biblical teaching on needs, because this can be somebody can use for these things. Well, I need to have. Okay? What is true biblical need? Often needs, number one, there are just excuses for sin. 1 Timothy 6, 8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Called need, what the Bible calls need, and identify sinful desire for what it really is. I need a $4 cup of coffee. I'm talking about somebody that can barely pay their bills. Okay? Is it not wrong to be doing something like, I desire to have a $4 cup of coffee when I could get one for a buck, at least in this area. You can't down in Greenville or in those areas. Go down there, it's more for $1.59 instead of a buck here. Another one, I need to buy, typically it is, to feel good about myself. Okay? Why does the Bible say I have food and raiment therewith to be content? There's something wrong with someone that always has to have stuff to make themselves feel right. Okay? That's part of the problem. If the problem is the focus is off of God, and it becomes on me, myself, and what I need. Okay? So that's why I throw that in there. Now, D, we need to understand examples of Paul and Lydia. I'm going to skip some of this. Just go down the paragraph to the middle line there between the two, between Paul and Lydia. Don't, see it there? Don't let the past control you. Isaiah 43:18 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. But see, those with a negative self-image do just that. Okay? Do y'all know what this is? If you're good with computers, you do.
An old
hard drive. Okay, now think of our minds, and this is an oversimplistic illustration. Our minds are like this hard drive. Okay, you put stuff on there, and you can usually find it. Sometimes have a difficulty find it, but it's there. I know it's there, and it can. And even if they, subpoena a hard drive or somebody's computer, they can find stuff and so on and so forth. Okay, now think of that. This be your mind. Okay. Like a hard drive, we're much better than that. Although I wonder sometimes if we can handle as much information as some of these hard drives can hold. But the fact of the matter is when the hard drive of your mind was put all kinds of stuff to put you down, to make you feel inferior, and it comes from, and we're becoming as a society more aware of it, and bullying and things like that. Put down, always self-conscious about a certain physical feature of ourselves or a certain way we looked because we didn't have the money the other kids had and so on and so forth. These things go in the mind. And it can also be parenting, which I'm always telling parents, be very careful how you do these things, because what you're doing is you're putting in the hard drive, in their mind, those things. So somebody with a typically low self-image, what they do is they're playing over in their mind the record that's been put there. In other words, you were never good enough. You never matched up. Or parents are told their children that they were a waste of time, not maybe necessarily saying that, but they were basically acting that way. You're bothering me. Just leave me alone. Okay, fine. Okay? I was the youngest of five, and sometimes I struggle with that. I'm 50 years old. I know I don't look that old, but but the fact of the matter is that many times still affects me in the sense of if I continue to play that record in my mind, that's what took place back then. Think about it this way. Anything negative that happened in your life, in your past growing up, isn't that all the things you remember? I mean, you remember some good things, but it seems like all those negative, really bad things are the things that stick with you your entire life. Okay? Those can contribute to this. This is what makes this is so important. Why Paul? And that's why I give these two examples. Why Paul? Look at the verse under letter D there. 1 Timothy 1:15. How does Paul view himself? Christ came into the world. I was the chiefest of sinners. But then in Philippians 3, he hasn't arrived. I press toward the mark. Future in Christ. Lydia said, if you've judged me, the next paragraph, you judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Where does she get the way she views herself? From Scripture, from God. Okay? Now, the next paragraph there, what did these Christians know and do to cause them to have an accurate self-image so they could confidently serve the Lord? Well, let's talk about a proper way to have an accurate self-image. And I'm going to fly through some of these. You can look at them and look at the verses later. Obviously, receive Christ your Savior. Yield yourself to God. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Next one. Live your life either in light of your union with Christ. Be controlled and changed by the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled under the control of Spirit. Be cleansed and conditioned by the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. Consistent in prayer. James 5, Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Be conscious. I don't think that's Ephesians. I think I just quoted Philippians chapter 4. Be conscious of Satan's devices. Concentrate on eternal goals. Think right, do right, and your feelings will follow. Luke 11:28 says, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. Okay? This is key. Thinking right and doing right. Okay? Because when it comes to understand and have an accurate self-image, which we'll get to Romans 12:3 here in just a moment, is that I'm thinking right. Again, I'm not playing the negative things. I'm playing what's accurate. We'll get to that in just a moment. And I'm doing right as a result of my thinking. My actions are biblical. They're correct. They're obedience. And then the feelings will follow. We don't go on feelings. John 13:17, one of the verses there. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Okay? Put on righteousness. Think accurately about your gifts and abilities. Not prideful and boastful. But end there. I want to point that out. Examine yourself before God and not other. That's key. You might want to mark that. Write that. Examine yourself before God, not other. Galatians 6, 3-5. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. That's Galatians chapter 6, verses 3-5. Okay? All right, now, go to number two there. Applying the Bible and self-image. Biblically evaluate yourself. Okay, now we're back to Romans 12:3. For I say, because you're there, right? Through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay, the apparent problem there was there was apparently braggers, boasters, also those who, as I mentioned before, self-consciously talk about themselves as if to get other people to lift them up. Okay, now, what does he say here? God's measurement is, verse 3. You see it there? The end of the verse. Okay, every man among you not to think of himself more highly, but he's to think soberly. We'll get to that. How? By the, every man, the measure of faith. That word measure, it translates standard. So the standard is Christ, the one by whom we should measure ourselves, not according to changing subjective feelings. Okay? You don't always feel right. You don't always feel good. You can feel really good when you've got something fun planned for next week. Then those feelings and stuff come out. That's our humanness. But when it comes down to when nothing's going on, you're all alone, you're by yourself, then what are the feelings? The feelings ought to be from God, from Christ. Christ is the standard. Okay? Now, number three there. The text warns strongly, this is text, about too high an evaluation. Okay, and because that's apparently what was going on. There was ones that were thinking they were great, they were awesome, they were God's gift to everybody. Okay, it warns about that, but it does not encourage a low evaluation. What does it encourage here? A normal, or if I could put it better this way, an accurate. Okay, like a good weather forecast. Every meteorologist wants to be accurate. Okay. We want to be accurate about who we are. So when we put those together, that's where our goal needs to be. And if you're always aware of the fact that I could be in one of these two places, only one of these three, how do I get to this point? Well, that's what he's talking about here. Use, as he says here, sober, not to think more highly, but to use sober judgments. The word suggests intoxication. Maybe, perhaps. But what it's talking about is not out of touch with reality. I'm to think of myself not as somebody, huge, great person, which we know those people are out there, particularly stars and so on. They're great, they're awesome. They got their star and everything else. Oh, they're wonderful, and so on. But then not also to think, well, I'm a nobody, nobody cares about me, boo-hoo, and so on and so forth. I am to think accurately, sensibly, in touch with reality. Now, here's the key here. When Christ is the standard on this, we will not think too high of ourselves. Then we will understand the reality of the first beatitude, which is, blessed are the poor in spirit. That has everything to do with humility. I am who I am. Paul says, I am who I am by the grace of God. And you are who you are, exactly who you are, and how God created you, how He made you, and how He is functioning in your life right now. If that doesn't, I mean, that can tend to be, because there can be Christians that can have a high view of themselves because they're greater and better than anybody else. Hey, and that's what we often say. Hey, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Okay? And I don't want to have a low, but I want to have an accurate self-image. Okay, so be there. Restructure your thinking and life strategy. I've got to be done in 5 minutes. Okay. Rejoice in your position in Christ as a created human being in creation. Okay. And now, just go down, renew your mind. Then you see the recognize the privileges and possessions, new nature and power and so on. Think on Scripture. Respond to them. And what Dr. Reamer said in the first message is very helpful, but that's all information there. So jump down a little bit farther and let's talk about number three there. Preventing a wrong self-image. Understand the causes of a poor self-image. Wrong theology. We have God-given abilities that are we are to submit to His control. Okay? This is why people sometimes in churches have a poor self-image, because they're not involved. Right? They don't do anything except sit and criticize and maybe and so on. Or they're just, you know, Sunday morning only. You know? That type of thing. They have a wrong theology. Christians that don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is changing me through His Word consistently. Okay? People are going to be all over the map with this thing if they're not consistent in their life or endeavoring to be consistent in their life under the Holy Spirit's control. Notice number two there. It goes along with that. Sin and guilt. Anytime we break God's standards, feeling of inferiority follows. So when you're not right with God, you're going to struggle in this area because you're not getting God's. You are working to get your own feelings of worth and so on, okay? Which may land you somewhere here, typically does not keep you here, okay? Or you're like here, you think you're here, but you're really awesome because you're here, you know? So then you end up here, so, all right? Past experience, our society expects success, therefore frequent failure can make us feel like I'm no good. I've tried this, that, I've tried to do these things, and nothing ever
works out right for me, and so on. And so the idea is, because I'm not successful in a particular thing, therefore I have feelings of inferiority because of that. Okay? Parent-child relationship, and this is where this comes in very much. Most self-image problems come from here. Number four. Criticize, shame, and rejection. Setting unrealistic standards or goals. When parents have these super high expectations of their kids and then press that upon them consistently and so on. You know, we need to be careful about that as parents. My kids are how old are they now? 23 going on 24, and my youngest just turned 21. And so it still is. I am still that person that's doing these things in their lives. Making sure that they know. Not pressing them, not pushing them, but letting them and being there to be encouraging and certainly letting the Holy Spirit work in their life. Okay? Express the expectation that the child will probably fail. I mean, you've known people like that. It's the idea of, you've never been able to do anything right, so I don't expect this to be any different. You know, people say, how damaging is that? Okay? Implication that children are a pain, therefore I must be a pain to everybody my whole life, and so I'm just in the way, and so on. Avoiding cuddling, hugging, affectionate touching, particularly when they're young. Overprotect, dominate children so that they fail, so that they fail when they're on their own. And then the one I've heard recently on Fox and Friends this week is lawnmower parents. You hear this? It's parents that mow in front of them to make sure that there's no any problems or issues that are going to come up in that child's life. They're ahead of them to mow it down before it can possibly, so their life just goes smoothly. Okay. Now here's what happens. Some people spend their entire life trying to please their parents or people in general. That's wrong. We don't live to please our parents. We don't live to please our spouses. You live to please God. And here's where it comes down to. You live to please God, you will always be pleasing to your spouse, to your friends, to your parents, to your kids. Okay? So when it comes down to it, my self-image comes from God. And so I live in light of His approval by my life living for Him. Okay, and then you have the rest of them that are there. Got a minute left. All right, unrealistic expectations. We set goals. They're unrealistic, so we set ourselves up for failure and so on. Wrong thinking. We accept the world standards. This is huge. If I accept the world standards of how we should be, how we should look, how we should act, this is the great stress upon kids today, young people today, teenagers today, is the struggle of measuring up. And that's wrong thinking. It's not the world standards, it's God's. Okay, and then you understand the effects of it, and a lot of those things there that are listed there, and depression is mentioned there. People that struggle with depression, a lot of times the root of that is a self-image problem. Okay? Now, I tell all this to tell you all this today and give you this here because you're going to come across people, counseling situations, where you will come across those that are struggling with these things. Get back, Dr. Reamer said, get back to Scripture. What does the Scripture have to say about these things? How should I? I don't view myself as somebody else. And this will be people that will their entire lives try to live to get to that point where they're happy to their parents and things like that. And parents, we don't want to get to that point. We want to do that. All right. And then look at the last page right at the end there. Deal biblically with cause and effect. Personal procedure. Face up and repent of your sinful strategy, A there, and then you have a list of things, daily prayer and devotions. That's why you get into the Word. It's because I want to be having this proper self-image in my life. That's why I spend that time, so that God can get me started where I need to be, because sin often comes from these things that are in our lives. Okay. And then the last one there. Remember who you are, God's child. You are God's child with all the privileges of being in Christ. That means we're God, others-focused, rather than self-focused. Okay? What gives you worth? You were created in the image of God. You're God's child in that sense. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, meaning that you are His child, you are in His kingdom, you're on your way to heaven,
And God has a purpose and plan for your life and for what God is doing in your life. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Help us to apply it. And we'll thank you for all that you'll do and accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. That time goes quick.